Good evening, you're watching Stockwatch with me, Simon Brown, tackling your questions in studio tonight. David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities and Rain McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments. Don't forget, send those questions through SMS 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Gents, thanks for joining us. A red day in the market, yes. 0.8 down, financials leading the way. ZAR just under 14. The big story tomorrow, MPC, rate cut.
Yes.
Rate cut baked in. Question, 25 or 50 points?
Look, I don't think they'll do 50, but 25 is baked in.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a 50.
Why won't they do 50?
I just don't think it's against how they work.
I think you're right. Because if I look at inflation.
Yeah, look.
Could be 4%.
There's one or two positive things about the dismal economic conditions that we're in here. The one positive thing is there is no inflation. There is no inflation.
We've got
no
money to spend.
There's no inflation. And in fact, it's not our official forecast, but there's a very good chance inflation could fall to 3.7, 3.8. Because there is just no inflation.
Why? You know, if you're going to lower interest rates, lower interest rates.
I hear you, but I mean, reserve banks are very sort of, you know,
state.
They do 25 points.
I think the same thing with the Fed. If you're going to reduce rates and you want to make an impact on spending, you want people to go buy houses, get the rate down so it triggers them. Don't do it in little stages where...
No, but that's just the way it is.
Then you're Turkey, you know, when you move rates.
Then that's just the way it is.
Yeah, no, okay.
So make an impact anyway.
And retail sales today, not a bad number.
And a
pickup from the previous.
For what it's worth, I think the bottom was first quarter. I mean, it's a long, hard slog to get up again, but I think the bottom was first quarter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at Woolworths' trading update a couple of days ago. There's food inflation coming back into the system. That's very good for the food retailers. Yeah. And they got volume growth.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out in the next 10 days when all the retailers give you their sales updates and all of their updates. We'll see what it's like. But it's looking a bit better. But it's only looking a bit better because you're measuring off such a dismal base.
Yeah, sure.
But still, we'll take it.
We'll take it. To your point, if the first quarter is the bottom, it's a long way to the top, but at least we're kind of edging there.
I think you have to understand that because people are talking about a turnaround in the second quarter of 1%. If you understand, in the first quarter, we were down minus 3.3.
Yeah.
So there's still a long way to go to get a decent GDP number.
Well,
but you've seen it in manufacturing, you've seen it in mining, better numbers than the first quarter. And retail sales seem to be holding up. So I think kind of bottom troughing,
But look, even if it does well, we're still going to only get 0.5%, 0.6% growth this year.
We're not getting one.
No.
We're not getting one. Never mind the fours, fives, and sixes. You mentioned mining, David. BHP Billiton update today. Nice numbers.
Well, they're good numbers. You know,
they should be good.
The biggest driver there is going to be iron ore. I think we forget that a year ago the iron ore price was maybe 50 or 60.
Yeah,
even if it was 70, we're now close to 120. So. Mm. You know, for manufacturers like or miners like BHP, Rio's and Anglo's itself, the amount of cash that they're going to generate is going to be huge.
Questions coming through in Implat, down almost, over 5%, 6%.
It was down 11 at one stage, wasn't it?
Yeah. They've got that odd, so it's a debt with a call option.
I
read that thing and there were formulas and calculations in there and deltas. And
I phoned a friend.
No, I didn't have the time or the intelligence to interpret that. But they're paying a premium.
They're paying
to redeem the debt early.
And in essence, the call options are at about 50 odd, so they're now in the money, which they weren't for a long time.
Yes.
And they're paying a premium, but they're clearing a whole bunch of dollar-denominated debt.
3.25%.
Well, it's not only... Understand that you've got $250 million that you have to pay back by 2022.
Yeah.
So you don't know where the rand's going to be.
You don't have your
Also, you're hedging. You know, you 3.2, whatever it is. So they want to retire that debt, convert it to equity.
But you look, the palladium price did fall 2-odd%, whatever it was today. So Amplats came down as well.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly part of that loss on Impala was this premium they're paying to settle the debt.
And issuing new shares. And truthfully, people scratching their head saying,
"What is this?
I don't actually understand.
That's 8% dilution. So you at the end of the day, you'll have 8% more shares.
Yeah.
So there's a massive dilution, which is an equity is a claim on all future profits. So equity capital is expensive. So I think that's why the market's just adjusting to this.
And clearly you can see when they issued it, life wasn't so good for them. Uh-huh. So they had to add the sweetener of a bit of a call option there on the share price to get those debt holders to bite.
Mm.
And now it's biting them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Our times have changed, absolutely.
And clearly they think the price is going up more, so they want to settle that liability.
Mm. Yeah, but in Platts itself, palladium was down, platinum was down. If I look at the platinum chart, and I'm so nervous to say this, it's looking better than it has in a while. I mean,
it should. Because at some stage, that gap between palladium and platinum is going to close.
It has to close.
Yeah. So platinum's got to go up and palladium's got to come down.
And these guys, our producers, are mostly platinum.
We should have asked our previous guest from Ford, just about the platinum market, you know, because I mean,
I think he claim
has
ignorance.
He has to manufacture, you know, to various regulations around there. Would like to ask him what he thought about the platinum market.
Look, it's also a complicated thing, this, but as far as I understand, other than directly at the manifold that goes onto the engine, where you got to use palladium because of its characteristics. The other catalytic converters in the rest of the pipe, can be platinum or palladium in petrol or diesel.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It just depends how your setup is done to manufacture it. So all the exhaust manufacturers now, most of them are set up to use palladium because it was cheaper than platinum.
And now they're
running.
Now it's the other way around. They are going to convert back to platinum as far as what they can. So it's coming.
The one article I read is actually what they're going to convert to. They're going to make their factories platinum or palladium. Mm. So they can actually just
decide.
They can decide on the price.
So then the two should arbitrage each other out over time.
And then there's a cost in that initial refit of the factory.
And cost and time.
And time. But then they've got more flexibility.
There's only one, the only soft underbelly of the platinum producers is the labor force. As soon as they smell that the companies are making money, they come out full force with their demands. Yeah,
so but they also come out full force with the demands when they aren't making money.
And I looked at that Implats.
It's not any different.
What, Implats is up 300%. It's at $70. You want the highest? 350.
Oh, no.
I mean, let's not get
okay.
Let's not get too excited there. Question coming through from Barbara. She's asking you about Anheuser-Busch. Wants to know if it's too early to buy. So they scrapped their Asia-Pacific listing due to market conditions. That money would have helped pay down some of the debt from a very expensive ticket they paid for SAB Miller. Yes. Your take on Anheuser-Busch at these prices?
Look, they're up 30% from the... they're up about 30% this year from the bottom. But I mean, even that, they were only going to give about 15% of the company away. Yeah. It wasn't a big IPO. They were going to raise 10 billion out of 100 billion rands worth of debt. So, I don't think it's a big deal. It would have alleviated to an extent. I'm glad they haven't done it. I'm glad because the whole purpose of the company was to consolidate was to build this big beer manufacturer or beverage producer and sell, not to break it up. So I think the benefits will start coming through. I still think it's a tough market. It's not, beer is not what it used to be. Mm. That's their biggest challenge.
Yeah, look, alcohol consumption is decreasing per capita worldwide. Not dramatic, but it's been decreasing for a number of years now. So people physically are drinking less alcohol. And beer's percentage of that reducing alcohol
is in itself reducing.
It's reducing dramatically
at
the expense of spirits, and there it's mainly gin and tequila, surprising enough. The only spirit that's going backwards is vodka. Otherwise, everything else is...
Vodka is just a base spirit.
Yeah, so everything else is going. So beer's, the total market shrinking and beer's percentage of that pie is shrinking quicker. Now, Anheuser-Busch's answer to this was buy volume.
Yeah.
Now, is that the right answer? Do you want to... I know it's not the correct comparison, but it's like Sappi buying all the paper manufacturers 25 years ago in a declining market, because their answer to that was by volume. Mm. So I'm not too sure whether they have got the right answer declining market.
If it's the right answer, it's also the price you paid.
Yeah.
But to David,
they're way overpaid for it.
To your point is that by issuing those shares, you're giving away a perpetual claim on profit.
Right.
So again, so maybe that was a nice little short-term solution, but rather actually keep that profit over the
long
term
and pay work down the
through
debt,
the process.
And I think the whole, you know, what Wayne says is correct. It was the same thing with Heinz, where Kraft Heinz, what they wanted to do is to, as your volumes are going down, they think, well, we will reduce costs at a faster pace than volumes are going down and therefore get the margin. But I think what everybody's finding out, whether it's Anheuser-Busch or Kraft Heinz, is that you actually have to spend money on your brands. You have to market your brands. You can't just rely on word of mouth to sell beer. And walk into any bottle store today, there are thousands of choices of different products, not only beers and
the
everything.
One truly suffering is the budget beer, the bottom stuff you buy in the supermarket, in other words. This volumes are down hugely, and there's absolutely no pricing power. Now, they are pricing the premium brands more, but beer is different to other spirits. Now, if you go to a restaurant, I mean, I never have, but if you go to a restaurant and you look at the menu on whiskey, you can get a 70 Rand tot to a 550 Rand tot, and you'll still deem that as being reasonable. But you can't get a 70 Rand beer and a 600 Rand beer. Yeah. You can get a 70 Rand beer and a 110 Rand beer. So that's it.
Elasticity. So
even on the premium stuff, there's a limit.
There's a ceiling. There's only so much.
Spirits you can actually push massively.
Yeah, there's a ceiling.
And of course, the reason why they didn't do that listing is there were no buyers. They're quoting market conditions. Yeah. There were no buyers.
There were no buyers.
No one wanted it.
Which is a market, but I take your point.
Yeah, it's not quite, yeah.
Thank people with thanks, but no thanks. Greg's saying, whilst waiting for the overdue bull market. Greg, yeah, we're waiting.
We're also waiting.
He's got three stocks. He says, which would be a good play? Pick and Pay, Coronation, Sasol.
We chose Sasol last week. I think it's starting. The elements of buying coming through at these levels. I still think the more we look at it, you know, the more you sense it, the more.
We've got a trading update from them this week or next, eh?
It's going to be very important. I think the big worry is that they could pass the dividend. You know, that's, in other words, that's the only thing. Because if not, the outlook, even with Lake Charles not giving you anything or written in for nothing, I think the outlook could be very, very
positive.
Yeah,
look, the earnings forecast are many, eh? This gets from 32 Rand to 42 Rand.
Somewhere down the line it's going to be
Sasol. But I want to delve into this because Pick and Pay. You mentioned food inflation. Yeah, Pick and Pay's numbers are starting to look good. Yeah, food inflation helps.
I actually quite like the food retailers.
And then Coronation rising market should also help them.
Well, if you're going to get a bull market,
not while we're waiting for it. Yeah, okay. So Sasol, Greg, for those three there. Before we go to break. Retailers in particular, but let's focus on banks. I was surprised to see banks off almost, over 1.5%
today. It's very surprising during this period of relative rand strength. I actually looked at this the other day. Normally when the rand strength, the banking shares go up.
Yeah.
When the rand falls, banking shares go down. Banking shares have gone down in this period of rand strength. Remember, the rand's come from 15 to 14. Eh? In fact, it looked like going to 13, 18 a day or two ago. Banks have been weak in that environment. Actually, very unusual.
So here's a factoid, a useless factoid. 1380 in the ZAR was the same level it was in December 2001, almost 18 years later.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Remember we had that collapse?
That was after the market collapsed.
And Trevor Manuel saved us because he banned asset swaps.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes.
Asset swaps and he was the pariah.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he saved everyone from losing more money and waiting 18 years
to get
the same exchange rate.
I said, I know too many people who took money at that 1380.
Thank goodness I didn't, but I can remember working.
Yeah, but 2001.
The phone was ringing off the hook. People were trying to book place because you had limited capacity.
Yes.
People say, please put me on. No, it's closed. Please, I beg you, please.
So what we did, we didn't take money. We bought white appliances. We bought washing machines. They're still cheaper today than they were 20 years ago. Time for a break. Keep sending your questions. SMS 41392 or email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za. Right back after this. Welcome back. Let's take a look at how global markets are performing. Across in the US, off the lows, but still red across the screen. The S&P was about 0.5% off when I left the office earlier, now down a third. NASDAQ a little bit in the red, and the Dow Jones off 11%. Dow still above that 27,000, S&P giving up the 3,000 point level. In Europe, it was red across the screens, the FTSE off 0.5% and a way weaker pound. CAC on 0.43% down. DAX out of Frankfurt, just under 0.75% down. Gents, back to the banks. Bev is asking, she's saying, of the big banks, notwithstanding the fact that they're not doing what they normally do with rand strength, your pick of the big banks. And she says top five, which I'm not sure if she means Investec or Capitec. I think it's Capitec.
You put Capitec in there as well. You know, I own First Rand and Standard Bank, and I've been running with them and still quite happy. I couldn't differentiate. I'm not, I don't do the in-depth analysis where I can really differentiate between any of those. I mean, I'd say with the top four, mm-hmm. Capitec in itself still produces very good results, but is exceptionally expensive at the moment.
Yeah. Look, Investec may be offering an opportunity. Mm-hmm. They are going to unbundle. When the bank sits on its own, there's a huge discount to book value. Now, can they unlock the discount? Because to unlock the discount, you've got to increase your return on those assets to unlock that discount. Can they do it? They seem very adamant that they can. Mm. I think a lot of their legacy things are now behind them. Mm. But it's an intensely competitive environment, eh? Intensely competitive.
You know, Wayne, you're starting to see new management take over.
Yes, well, that's the point. Changing is that they a lot say they're going to.
In other words,
turn
you know, credit
beast.
To them. Yeah, credit to them. They realize that they can't live on their past, and I think Fani Titi, well, you're going to get the split between the asset management.
Yeah, the two there.
But I think big changes are going to take place there, whether or not they can recapture where they were, and I'm going back 10, 15 years ago.
Look, I think it's difficult.
It's a different space.
But the effort's there.
But there's an element of unlock here.
Yeah.
You know, even if you don't go forward in leaps and bounds, very similar to Old Mutual, there's an element of unlock which should, in theory, be relatively easy to do.
And we
from then on to grow, I think, would be
sure.
difficult.
And we saw it with NASPAS and MultiChoice. I mean, solid unlock there. I mean, it properly worked. I mean, those spin-off or split-ups, depending which way you're doing it, generally work. I mean, I'm thinking Tiger Brands and all the bits that they spun out, not all working so great anymore, but back at the time
they weren't going to Tonga.
Yeah. and some of the others that came through. No, agreed on that. Question coming through, sort of more broadly, focusing on retailers and back to the points we were making earlier. Colin saying, if we're seeing glimmers of green shoots, my words, not him. Who are the preferred in that space? I mean, we've mentioned some of the food guys who are going to benefit.
Look, I think you can go for ShopRite, Spar, maybe even Woolies after this last trading update. Clicks is fantastic, but and I've been wrong for I don't know.
It's
how
been
many
expensive forever.
Expensive.
Don't underestimate Fischini.
Yeah.
I think Fischini are modern. They're modernizing their whole operations. They are very with it crowd. Broadly, our retailers are very good. I mean, they're superb retailers.
The mistakes they make are the acquisitions, not the business.
Well, that
running.
Was a Woolworths.
It was a Woolworths.
They go offshore, but by and large, you know, if you look at ShopRite, if you look at Clicks, if you look at even Dis-Chem in there, they're solid operations. So. You need the economy to help them out, and that's not helping.
You need the economy, but the ratings are on your side, the valuations are on your side.
One of the questions I got on Twitter this afternoon, which was about Clicks and how it's a brilliant stock, never bought it because it was always expensive. And stopped it going higher. The question was then, well, what about Dis-Chem? Not that cheap either.
They're cheaper than they were.
Put the Dis-Chem share price up.
Yeah, they're cheaper than they were.
Look, I like the concept. I think they have the ability to move a lot more product to a very loyal customer base, but they were severely hurt by that strike and
towards the end of last year.
And management succession, what's going to happen with that? Is the son going to take over? Mm. Is he as good as the father? So look, the share price has come down, but I like the idea of Dis-Chem.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't go to Dis-Chem often at all. But when you go in there, surprisingly enough, people look quite energized and happy.
And with trolleys.
Trolleys. Look, their trading density must be 10 times bigger than any of the other retailers, certainly a lot higher than Clicks, meaning your sales per square meter. Yeah.
And they've also had something to do with the rebates that they didn't recognize and funny accounting.
This is low.
Yeah.
You're going back to almost pre-listing levels.
Yeah, listing was in that zone.
Post-listing. Sorry, just 21, 22. Levels. Yeah. This has come back a long way. Yeah.
Stocks that have come back a long way, EOH. I got to say, so Keith McLachlan did a post which I read. So the current board, no more directors. Every director who was there a year ago is now gone. And, you know, sweeping clean. $1.2 billion, frankly, over a four-year period, not that big. You know, they're making 10, 15 billion. But so a new dawn, but maybe a very, very slow dawn.
They've got to get their licenses back. They've got to reestablish their credibility in the market. You know, anybody who's using them is going to start questioning whether we use them or whether we go somewhere else as well.
And also,
You know what, Wayne? The one thing is that when we started to hear about, you know, rumors of this and the share price come down, there was always the view that they'll recover fast, you know. And eventually now, you know, what's happened now is that we've opened the whole operation. They were protecting it all along. Management kept protecting it. And I think maybe now will be the start of a new beginning. But it's not going to be an easy turnaround.
Yeah. Look, their one their main business model is gone.
Yes.
That was buying cheap
acquisition
earnings.
Acquisition with script.
Yeah. Buying cheap earnings and paying with shares. That model is gone.
Mm-hmm. Forever. Gone.
But there's some proper annuity businesses in here. And they're a very, very big operator. But in today's environment post-Steinhoff, there's going to be class actions. They're saying, you as a company told us everything was okay. Yeah. Now you're telling us not. The share price fell from X to Y. I want compensation because you gave me false and misleading information about this and that. That's coming.
Yeah.
And when these things happen, it puts uncertainty over the company and it takes forever to come to resolution. Yep. So these same as Steinhoff, these class action or shareholder lawsuits are coming because, I mean, I listened to a repeat of one of the interviews from a year ago, whenever it was, and the MD at the time said, we had this company look into these allegations, and it's been
talking the ERH now, still.
Yeah, it's been proven beyond doubt that there's nothing fishy here.
Except
that everything's kosher, and then all of a sudden
you're right. I used this with respect to ERH as well at the time, and I got into a lot of trouble at the time. When I made that comment, I said, you know, Buffett always says, when there's a cockroach in the kitchen, sooner or later, you're going to meet the family. and it applies to every company. When there's trouble, you know, when this kind of trouble merges its head or starts to emerge, sooner or later, you're going to get to the bottom of it. There's going to be a lot more. And we've seen it in Tongaat. We've seen it all along.
All over the place.
I don't know. There must be a half a dozen plus companies that have lost 80% of their value. Yeah. More.
Yeah, more.
Not all through skullduggery.
Sure.
But there's been some, the last 2 or 3 years, there's been some proper bombs. Normally, you only get a bomb once every 10 years.
I remember back when Health and Racket was like the one. And for years, that was our example. Yeah. Now we've got dozens. And
Sambo before that.
Yeah.
It's normally a bomb every 10 years. And they've had about 5 bombs in 2 years.
Sanjay is asking about Omnia. He wants to short with CFDs. Sanjay, be very careful. Don't be holding those CFDs on the X date because then you also short the nil paid and everything goes ugly. Yeah. But more broadly, Omnia in of itself, we weren't having a rights issue. Now we are having a rights issue. We know a little bit about it, $2 billion. This is one of those bombs.
Well, you've got to find out what went wrong. You know, this is a company where everything was going right. It was a challenger to AECI.
In our youth, it was a darling.
It was a darling. Yeah. They built their factories, were modern factories from which they got carbon credits. Everything was going right. Suddenly, everything's going wrong. And get to the bottom of it. If you want to short it, you know, I'm not going to stop you doing it. But I think before you start buying, before you look for bargains, just be careful. Look, I think Hulamin's, digressing, Hulamin's another situation. You've got to start looking at these businesses and say, why are they falling at the rate or pace that they are? What do other people know that we don't know?
Yeah.
Look, David doesn't know the future. I don't know. None of us know the future. Shorting it might be the most wonderful idea that's ever happened. You might make a fortune. We don't know. If you're going to, don't do it with all your money. Do it with a measure. If you think it's a good thing, go for it. I'm not going to say you're wrong or right. I don't know. I've got no clue.
No, fair point.
But just do it in moderation.
Yeah. And don't use your granny's pension.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Sanjay, as I said, when it goes X for the nil paid, you'll be short those nil paid. In other words, you will have to deliver them to someone. So if you do short, do what Wayne says, keep it small, and importantly, also get out before that X date, because I've seen people get very, very stuck with that. Because the share collapses, you're now short those nilpaids and all sorts of horrible stuff. We've got lots of time, so let's go to some stock picks. Wayne, NASPAS, with more activity unlocking coming.
Yeah, look, I've seen valuations for NASPAS from 4,500 to 6,000 a share over the time. But they are going for this listing. There's bound to be some hype around that. And the one part of NASPAS, now not Tencent, the one part of NASPAS is now gone. Positive cash flows and profits. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like that part because I think that's where the most intense competition is going to come. But their payment solutions actually looks good. And who knows on the food delivery? This might be, you know, the new thing. I'm not convinced about it, but at least the one part of the business is turning. They're very positive about the other two bits, and Tencent is generating good, solid money
and the Chinese are authorizing games again, slowly, but it's starting to happen.
So, I mean, it's still a fair amount off its high of a couple of years ago, whenever that was. So why not? The valuations, I mean, we did a valuation on it, and slaughtering the price-earnings ratio in 2 years' time, given what are maybe slightly pessimistic earnings forecast, it still shows quite big value.
NASPAS. Ferrari.
I'm going Ferrari.
You're just trying to get a ride, aren't you?
I'm big into luxury at the moment. I think just having done a field trip in the United States, it's a massive item. Bernard Arnault now is the second richest man in the world. He's displaced
first
Bill
time
Gates.
Bill Gates has not been top two in the history of...
He's now number three with Bezos. So you've got a retailer and a luxury goods in one and two, and then comes...
And those retail sales out of China on
still
Monday.
Strong. And that Ferrari...
Well, that's why
the more I speak to people about Ferraris, the more I learned. I actually met a chap yesterday who got a lot of money. He didn't qualify to buy a Ferrari. Therefore, they invite you.
Those fancy ones they're doing, they're very, very...
So they're up about 70% this year, but they're racing.
By the shares, not by the cars. Thanks to our guest, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. He's buying Ferrari shares, not the cars. Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments buying NASPAS. We'll look more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Till then, have a good evening. Let's go to some stock picks. Wayne, NASPAS, with more activity unlocking coming.
Yeah, look, I've seen valuations for NASPAS from 4,500 to 6,000 a share over the time. But they are going for this listing. There's bound to be some hype around that. And the one part of NASPAS, now not Tencent, the one part of NASPAS is now gone. Positive cash flows and profits. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly like that part because I think that's where the most intense competition is going to come. But their payment solutions actually looks good. And who knows on the food delivery? This might be, you know, the new thing. I'm not convinced about it, but at least the one part of the business is turning. They're very positive about the other two bits. And Tencent is generating good, solid
money and the Chinese are authorizing games again, slowly, but it's starting to happen.
So, I mean, it's still a fair amount off its high of a couple of years ago, whenever that was. So why not? The valuations, I mean, we did a valuation on it, and slaughtering the price-earnings ratio in 2 years' time, given what are maybe slightly pessimistic earnings forecasts, it still shows quite big value.
NASPAS. Ferrari.
I'm going Ferrari.
You're just trying to get a ride, aren't you?
I'm big into luxury at the moment. I think just having done a field trip in the United States, it's a massive item. Bernard Arnault now is the second richest man in the world. He's displaced
first
Bill
time
Gates.
Bill Gates has not been top two in the history of...
He's now number three with Bezos. So you've got a retailer and a luxury goods in one and two, and then comes...
And those retail sales out of China
still
Monday.
Strong. And that Ferrari...
Well, that's why
the more I speak to people about Ferraris, the more I learned. I actually met a chap yesterday who's got a lot of money. He didn't qualify to buy a Ferrari. Therefore, they invite you.
And, oh, those fancy ones they're doing, they're very, very fast.
They're up about 70% this year, but they're racing.
By the shares, not by the cars. Shares, yeah. Thanks to our guest, David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. He's buying Ferrari shares, not the cars. Wayne McCurry from FNB Wealth and Investments buying NASPAS. We'll look more of your stock-related questions tomorrow. Till then, have a good evening. Yes.